Blessed be God, who enables us through the Holy Spirit to praise his holy name. Let us therefore bless the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit by proclaiming, Blessed be God forever. With this podcast, we gather to listen to God's holy word. In order to prepare our hearts for this task, we begin by acknowledging our sins and saying the following act of contrition. O my God, I repent with my whole heart of all of my sins. I detest them, for it is by them that I deserve the loss of heaven and all the sufferings of hell. But it is also by them that most of all I have offended you, infinite goodness. And it is because of this I firmly resolve, with the help of your grace, a grace that I ask you to grant me now and always, that I will do what penance I can, and desire to rather die than offend you again. Amen. O Lord, be in our hearts, and on our lips, and shown in our lives, so that we may proclaim and know the word of the Lord, in the name of your Son Jesus, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. A reading from the book of Ecclesiastes. Rejoice, O young man, while you are going, and let your heart be glad in the days of your youth. Follow the ways of your heart, the vision of your eyes. Yet understand that as regards all of this, God will bring you to judgment. Ward off grief from your heart, and put away trouble from your presence, though the dawn of youth is fleeting. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come, and the years approach of what you will say, I have no pleasure in them. Before the sun is darkened, and the light, and the moon, and the stars, while the clouds return after the rain, when the guardians of the house tremble, and the strong men are bent, and the grinders are idle, because they are few, and they who look through the windows grow blind, when the doors to the streets are shut, and the sound of the mill is low, when one waits for the chirp of a bird, but all the daughters of song are suppressed, and one fears heights and pearls in the streets, when the almond tree blooms, and the locust grows sluggish, and the caperberry is without effect, because man goes to his lasting home, and mourners go about the streets, before the silver cord is snapped, and the golden bow is broken, and the pitcher is shattered at the spring, and the broken pulley falls into the well, and the dust returns to the earth as it once was, and the life breath returns to God who gave it. Vanity of vanity, says Queoleth, all things are vanity. The Word of the Lord. In every age, O Lord, you have been our refuge. In every age, O Lord, you have been our refuge. You turn man back to dust, saying, Return, O children of men, for 1,000 years in your sight are as yesterday, now that it is past, or as a watch in the night. In every age, O Lord, you have been our refuge. You make an end of them in their sleep. The next morning they are like changing grass, which at dawn springs up anew, but by evening wilts and fades. In every age, O Lord, you have been our refuge. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain wisdom of heart. Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants. In every age, O Lord, you have been our refuge. Fill us at daybreak with your kindness, that we may shout for joy and gladness all our days. And may the gracious care of the Lord our God be ours. Prosper the work of our hands for us. Prosper the work of our hands. In every age, O Lord, you have been our refuge. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Our Savior Christ Jesus destroyed death and brought life to light through the gospel. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. While they were all amazed at his every deed, Jesus said to his disciples, "Pay attention to what I'm telling you. The Son of Man is to be handed over to men." But they did not understand this saying. Its meaning was hidden from them, so that they should not understand it. And they were afraid to ask him about this saying. The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our responsorial psalm tells us that we need to number our days properly in order to truly have wisdom in our hearts, because we need to really understand our place in the world, because there can come a day when it's too late for us to make the kind of amends that we would like to make with certain people in our lives. And that is a sad reality that many of us come to. It's something that, as I've gotten older, I've seen it happen in various ways with various people that I've known, especially in my own family, especially at this time when, as I'm giving this podcast, my mother is near the end of her life. And it makes me pause, because we are told once again by the writer of Ecclesiastes that everything is vanity. Basically, everything in life is meaningless. And that's how it looks on the surface to many people if you really look at what realistically the purpose of this life is. Everybody wants to live forever. Everybody wants that chance to win the Powerball, to have great things, to do things remarkable, gaining renown in this life, with no thought of the eternal life to come. And yet, the challenge today is for us to truly consider our place in the universe, to realize that what we are trying to gain in this life is meaningless, and that the only person, the only being that can give us a greater meaning than a vain, meaningless pursuit is our Lord Jesus Christ. And he himself, in the gospel reading today, wanted us to know that it's not about the things of this world, because he was going to allow himself to be handed over and die for each one of us. Many of the apostles, when he was telling this in his lifetime, they didn't really understand what he meant. And the gospel basically says they did not understand this saying. Its meaning was hidden from them so that they wouldn't understand it. And they didn't even dare question him about it. And it's because we're looking at things from the standpoint of what we gain here. How often, when you have a loved one that's in the hospital, is the miraculous the thing that you want? You want Jesus to show up and raise Lazarus from the dead. It was a question that was given to me by my stepfather not too long ago about what the anointing of the sick is really all about. Do we believe that God can heal miraculously? And I told him yes. But I also told him, but there are times that Lazarus dies. And I don't think he really understood what I meant. And that is, in a sense, something we all have to wrestle with. I know right now, as I'm speaking to you, that I would rather have my mom live another 50, 60 years than lose her today in any way, shape, or form. But, on the other hand, I also know that I would rather her make it to eternal paradise than live one more day here. And because of that, while I have sorrow over where my mother is physically, I pray that spiritually she's in the right spot to enter eternal salvation. Because she's at that point where I'm pretty certain she's facing the final trial of her life. A trial each one of us one day will face. And we'll face it whether we want to or not, whether we expect it or not. In a sense, getting sick, ending up in the hospital, and knowing that your days are short, whether it comes by a proclamation of a doctor concerning a cancer diagnosis or organ failures, in a sense of how my mother found out about where she's at. And we might live beyond the expectations of medical staff. Individuals like Rush Limbaugh lived a little bit longer, I think almost a year longer than was expected when he got his cancer diagnosis. I think he was given probably 6 months, and I think he lasted about 5 months beyond that. But you see, there's the hint, the secret to what we're being talked about today. God can make an end of us in our sleep and treat us like changing grass. We could be there in the morning and gone by the evening. But in the end, if we truly number our days correctly, in the right way, we will shout for joy and gladness, because the Lord our God gives us more than just the vanity, the meaninglessness of this passing life.